Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I'm here as always with my good friend and colleague Tommy Welling. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey Scott, how are you?
Doing fantastic, my friend. Welcome into the episode, everyone. Want to address the elephant in the room, or let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. You can see us, hopefully, if this is going as planned and this episode gets released as planned. We are now adding a video component, which is going to take a little getting used to after doing 220-ish episodes without it.
Right.
So I've been able to stare into Tommy's dreamy eyes and see his well-sculpted beard. Over the months to years now that we've been doing this, but now you get to see him as well. So as we get acclimated to this new format, we're going to be distributing this across multiple different platforms and really just trying to continue to reach more people. We're on a mission to take on the obesity and diabetes epidemic in Fasting for Life with this concept of adopting fasting as a lifestyle to lose weight, get healthy, reverse metabolic disorders, prevent disease, improve your quality of life, etc. And adding video to our repertoire, we are well behind the eight ball. Everybody's been doing it for a while. We're finally ripping off the Band-Aid. So here we are in all our video glory. All right. If you are new to the podcast, I want to welcome you in. You want to learn more about us and our journey with fasting and how it's transformed our lives, head back to episode one. Give it a listen. We kind of share our journey. And now that episode's been shared with tens of thousands of people that have joined us on this fasting lifestyle. If you're an OG, a longtime listener, we want to thank you as well. If you'd head to the show notes, you can click all of the links to find all of our stuff, our free resources, our blueprint to fasting for fat loss, which is something we're going to talk a little bit about today, or reference, I should say. And when we look at the conversation for today's episode, Tommy, we want to kind of go big picture and then zoom in. And one of our things is to adopt fasting is very, very simple in concept, right? You're just going to stop eating, skip a meal, right? If you've heard all of the intermittent fasting type concepts, or just skip breakfast, right? Or just push your window. And it is very easy. It's simple in construct, but sometimes it's not easy to adhere to, right?
Agreed.
You set your timer, you have a plan, you deviate from the plan. The weekend happens, a life event happens, stress happens, and we call that life's gonna life, right? So what we say here at Fasting for Life is we want your life to be the plan, right? And not the diet that you're on. Because if you've ever been on a diet, restricting and omitting and tracking and weighing and motivating and willpowering and all of that stuff, then you know when you're on, you're on, you're off, you're off. And we don't want that for y'all. We want this to become intuitive. We want this to become freeing. We want this to simplify your life. So Tommy, when we talk today about a blueprint, we're going to reference the blueprint to fasting for fat loss. You can click the link in the show notes. It's a free 20-page PDF. It gives you a little bit of insight into the science behind fasting and how we think about it and some schedules, etc. But the article that I came across was called "The Blueprint I Used to Lose 14 Pounds in 2 Months After Years of Failing to." And it says, "Without dieting or starving myself." And this is from Varun Kadri back in the fall of 2023. And I thought to myself, what an interesting concept, because we do challenges, right? We do Master Your Fasting challenges, where we take you through guided fasting schedules. And in those challenges, between 5 and 7 days, we've seen people lose anywhere from 7 up to, I think the highest we saw was just shy of 20 pounds in a week.
Right. Yeah. Incredible.
Right? Because fasting can really get the needle moving quickly. So I look at this and I was like, you know what? I want to talk through this in a way and apply this to a fasting lifestyle, because some of the same principles truly do apply in how you can consistently lose weight. And we talk a lot on this podcast about other metrics that are more important, right? When we're talking about, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, in waist circumference and insulin sensitivity and insulin resistance and fasting insulin and all these different things. But the idea here is, how do you get consistency after living in a dieting mindset or a dieting construct when you're coming over here to maybe the new shiny object, which 3 or 4 years ago when we started the podcast was a lot shinier. Now intermittent fasting has become more mainstream. And we kind of want to unpack this with 4 or 5 main points. And we want you to focus on one thing that you can take away from today's episode.
Yeah, I think, you know, part of the inspiration for this as a conversation starter was just the fact that it resonates with me. I know it resonates with you, resonates with so many people out there as far as like just feeling stuck, like trying to count calories and count the macros and do all of the things that we're told that we should be doing and that they should be working if we're doing them diligently. But the fact of the matter is that physiologically it just doesn't always work as planned, and that can feel very frustrating. And we can bring with us a lot of that baggage, that emotional, that old dieting baggage. We can bring that with us into the fasting realm, and that doesn't, that we have to understand that we will be bringing some of that with us, and that if we apply things, if we apply our tools in a different way, then we are likely to get better results, but it's not guaranteed that it's going to happen immediately.
And we're still on this fasting journey as well, right? So if you've heard the most recent podcast, just had a new DEXA scan done, gained a couple pounds of muscle, lost a pound of visceral fat, weight pretty much stayed the same over the last 9 months. But I wasn't doing any real, like trying to move the needle in that category at all, but really focusing on the visceral fat. If that's a new term, you can just search our podcast. We got multiple episodes on that in itself.
That's one of those metrics that's more important. Yeah.
Right. That's one of those things that we want to focus on. And the reality is coming from this stuck standpoint, right?
Yeah.
Like your story, my story, head back, listen to the episode. If you haven't heard in a while, if you've never heard it, like, I mean, I feel like that's why it's the podcast has taken off the way it has. And because it is relatable in a way where it's like, this is like day-to-day stuff, right? So there's nothing, in my opinion, having been there multiple times and having paid lots of money for coaches and you know, functional medicine and diagnostics and tests and all of this stuff, being like, okay, why do I always feel tired? Why is the weight not staying off? And people are like, oh, you're not disciplined enough. Okay, fine. There are times of seasons of life where that happens. But there's nothing worse than being like feeling unfit, overweight, unhealthy. And like, honestly, nothing really feels good. And a lot of us who have come to fasting come with that, like you mentioned, that dieting construct or that dieting mindset, right? So we've seen some threads after, you know, 5,700 people going through our different challenges or programs, the coaching that we have now and the group that we have, the VIP group, and, you know, the tens of thousands of messages that we've gotten now over the course of having, you know, a few hundred podcast episodes. There's some threads of things that we see that really stop you from finally succeeding. And that was kind of the big takeaway from this article. I was like, you know what? I love how it's framed in a, you know what? I've tried to fail, but I'm finally succeeding now. Because 3 years ago, I was 50 pounds heavier. My fasting insulin number was higher. I was not as good of a dad, supportive husband, energetic, nonstop, like, let's go do something fun kind of guy, because I was feeling like crap, even though my labs were just on the borderline of being off.
Sure.
And I just couldn't get traction with the dieting culture, the dieting mindset, the tracking, the weighing, the all of that stuff. On and off, had temporary success, but never became part of that 5%. So point one here is really like, stop waiting.
How many times have I had that thought? Like, I'm waiting for my next round of motivation to kind of like come hit me so I can get this thing, you know, kind of like pull the boat, you know, into the water, like out of the muck here so I can get going again.
And that's, it's like you're waiting for that motivation, or maybe you're waiting until it like really gets bad, or you really felt ready to change, or you really felt like exercising.
Or your doctor gives you an ultimatum.
Right? So waiting and putting that off, we like to call it delegating to the future you, is really just a form of procrastination. Like,
for
we
sure.
rationalize with ourselves, we lie to ourselves, we fool ourselves. Man, I'll get my stuff together when I finally, you know, when the pain of change is less than the pain of staying the same, right? I'll do it when I'm motivated, right? And all of that is just wrong. The I'll be happy when construct as well. Like, you got to start before you're ready, right? Motivation is so mythical. Episode 125, if you want to go hear our conversation about willpower, won't power, and want power, right?
It's a good
discipline
one.
Is created by taking action, not by being motivated to do the thing. Like, just think of a toddler. Tell anyone, like, don't do the thing, and that's all they can think about. It's like, don't eat on the couch. That's all they want to do is eat on the couch.
Right.
Right? Like, you don't want to do... Like, when you don't feel like doing something, the ability to do it anyway, right? Like, this whole procrastination waiting game that we play, this, oh, I'll start again on Monday. Oh, that fast didn't go great. I'll just do another 24-hour tomorrow. Or I'll just do a 72-hour for reparations for what I just did on the weekend.
Sure.
Right? Like, we got to just start and just man or woman up, right? pull up your britches. And not allow the feelings to dictate what you do. And I'm not saying all of the time, but if you can get consistent with this first point, taking action, regardless of how you feel, is going to be incredibly powerful for long-term sustainability.
Yeah, and I like the line that's start before you're ready.
Yeah.
So instead of delegating to the future me, who will be ready at some point in the near future, and then that's when I'll get started, let me get started before I'm even ready. Maybe before I have the perfect plan, before it feels like I have everything kind of figured out about what next, what tomorrow looks like, and then what next week looks like, and what next month looks like. Because for me personally, that's how I wanted to be able to see the big picture before I would have that like activation energy to really hit the gas. But to my own detriment though, if I could go back to each one of those times and go, just stop that insanity and start before you're ready, even if it's taking imperfect action from the beginning, then that will allow me to go forward and figure out what the next step looks like without, but you can't have all the pieces figured out, and it won't matter anyway, because the variables will change whenever you get there anyway. So even if you had the perfect plan laid out, day two or day 22 is going to look different than how you expect it anyway. So you're going to have to roll with the punches. So like I'm telling myself, get over it now so that I can hit the gas even before it's all figured out.
So the second point is really what we like to say is like begin with the end in mind. So think about the destination that we have at the end of our lives. And I saw someone the other day estimated they were going to live to 85, and they took marbles and put them in a blue bin, a red bin or a blue bin. I can't remember. It was some analogy to the red pill, blue pill thing that I always forget.
Okay, like from The Matrix.
Yeah, even though I've seen the movie probably 100 times, right? Not lately.
Take
not
the
since
red
I've
pill.
Had kids.
Take the red
yeah,
pill.
The red pill. Mm-hmm. So from the blue bucket to the red bucket, right? And every week, they take a marble for the estimated amount of weeks, right, that they're going to have. And it's like time is finite, right? So we need to think about like the destination. And every day passes, and I'm trying to be morbid, but every day that passes, it brings you a little bit closer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I continue on my current path, this is the thought, what will my life be like in 5, 10, 15 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
Some of you are going, I don't know, I can't even get through the day. Fine, then let's do, what's it going to look like in this next holiday season, because the last holiday season is still fresh. And I would have been in the obese category still. I would have been probably a diagnosed pre-diabetic at that point. Not sure where my marriage would be. Not sure what my kids would think of me at this point. Be disgusted with myself, right?
Yeah.
Maybe having some regret, thinking like, oh, what if I had started sooner? So the future you is in the hands of the current you. So the future me, the way I want to be, the way I want to show up, the health that I'm going to embody and have is in the hands of the current you, the current me right now.
Yeah.
So if I continued eating, continued drinking, continued struggling and not doing something different or embracing doing the thing I didn't feel like doing when I didn't feel like doing it, right? And that to fasting, I mean, again, super simple, but not easy when life's gonna life. You really need to like ingrain this thought that it should motivate you to want to change so you don't ever have to delegate to the future you, and then that future you is like, what the heck, dude? Like 20 years ago, you knew this stuff. Why didn't you do it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit late, you know, in the game at that point to, you know, to start steering the car in a different direction, if you will, at that point. So that's absolutely part of the just getting started now. And if I was able to go back, like, man, just what you just said about going back a few years or how it would have looked like if you hadn't gotten started at that point.
Right.
That really takes me to a point of like, I can't imagine the regret that I would have looking back at the last few years of, you know, opportunity to do better and to make improvements. And like every day is not a 10 for sure, but staying consistent with it and taking a look at where do I want my trajectory to be headed towards, where do I want that to be going, is like, I have a powerful opportunity right here.
Hey, y'all, I wanted to take a second and tell you just an incredible story about an amazing company that we've come across recently. And now they are a sponsor of our show. It's airdoctorpro.com. You can head to the website, use a promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off. But most importantly, my little guy, my two-year-old, has not slept consistently through the night since he was born. We have tried everything you can imagine. He is our third child. And we're just like, what is happening? So we have gone to great lengths, time, money, and effort to figure out how we can help him sleep. And the reality is we're pretty much just resigned to the fact that this is how it's going to be until we put the Air Doctor Pro in his room. And I am not joking when I tell you the first night that we put it in his room, he slept through the night. The second night, slept through the night. Now we're up to 35 plus days that he has slept through the night. He has only woken up two times, rather than two, three times a night, two times in the last 35 days and counting. And we are just so incredibly grateful. The reality is we had a feeling that it was something that we were missing. And the indoor air that we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air these days. In some cases, up to 100 times more. We spend 90% of our time indoors and we take 20,000 breaths a day. So what's the solution? An air purifier, a cut above the rest. I'm not going to lie. We have tried others. We've tried other HEPA filters. We've tried other air filters. We have spent the money and they have not done the results that Air Doctor did in literally the first day that we put it in his room. They filter out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. That includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mite, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. So I don't know what it was that was keeping them up, but it is now gone. So Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code FASTINGFORLIFE to receive up to $300 off air purifiers. An exclusive listener offer for you as well. You'll receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. That's exclusive to you, the podcast listener, now hearing this in real time. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code FASTINGFORLIFE. You guys know that we are very particular with who we partner with. And if it wasn't for this incredible company and the incredible results that we've seen, I would not be encouraging you to head to the website and take advantage of the Fasting for Life promo code. So if you support our sponsors, you are ultimately supporting us. We are grateful for you listening in. And now back to today's episode.
Listen, I just found 11 years ago, I had the Facebook memories thing that pops up, which now I can't find. And somebody tried to tell me to find it. I'm like, listen, I don't have that button on my phone.
Yeah.
Okay. That button doesn't exist. Not great with it. Okay.
early 40s. Don't pretend to have my handle on tech and keeping up with it, right? But, you know, I thought I could handle Facebook. But it popped up and it was me looking like the strong man in the off season with the big belly, and I could bench press a Buick, and, you know, I was doing macros and CrossFit and all these different things, and I was on my plan, and I would lose 15 or 20 pounds, but I still felt like crap, and I was always sore, and come to find out my insulin, you know, number was in the low 20s when ideally it should be under 5 to 7, depending on who you want to listen to.
Yeah.
And, you know, my blood sugar was still within the normal range, but my liver enzymes are off, and I just was waking up feeling like crap every day and just not feeling good. And I'm like, man, I'm 35, whatever, how old I was then, 32, 33.
Mm-hmm.
And then until like 35, it really started to hit. But when I'm looking back, I was teaching 30-day challenges and workshops and nutrition inside of my clinic. Mm-hmm. And I saw this picture, and it literally had insulin and hunger hormones on the slide behind me. And I was like, wait, I was still teaching in the caloric eat less, move more construct, even though I was still teaching all of these people about hormones.
Sure.
And I thought to myself, why the man, wouldn't it have been nice to know to have been able to apply what I know now, right? What I learned in 20 when I went down the fasting rabbit hole with you in 2019,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Like, if I could have applied that years before, when I was before I was doing that workshop, that would have saved years of struggle.
Yeah.
Like so it's crazy. So that whole like what if, look back, regret thing, I'm not a big fan of that.
Mm-hmm. Me neither.
But this whole like the future you is in the hands of the current you is a really powerful concept that I had never thought about until I read this article.
Yeah, it makes you want to be a good steward of your time and your trajectory, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Cause and then the whole marble thing, and I was like, okay. So this leads me to point number three. It's not supposed to feel like hell all the time.
Hmm.
Okay? It's not supposed to be a struggle.
More pain, more gain, you know?
Yeah. A fasting lifestyle is supposed to simplify, empower, encourage, move the needle, motivate you, excite you. Because if you just say the word diet, inherently we have a visceral response to it, right?
Yeah.
If you
start with the word die.
Yeah. If you've gained or lost any weight at any point in time in your life. So the reality is you don't have to spend tons of hours at the gym and eat incredibly super clean to lose weight, especially with a fasting lifestyle. And don't get me wrong, those things are good for you, right? Overall health, yes. Avoid ultra processed and processed refined carbs and foods, right? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But we obsess over these two levers. And Tim Ferriss has this question, like, what would it look like if this was easy? So what does your fasting lifestyle look like if it's easy? What does your workout or your activity that you do look like if it's easy? Because if you told me the only way to do it would be doing a caloric deficit, calories in, calories out, eating less, moving more, and I'd have to run to get there, I would just give up because I hate running.
Right.
So if you adopt the lifestyle and you're consistent in your fasting, then all of the other stuff that's typically hard to stick with becomes easier.
Hmm.
Because it stacks the deck physiologically in your favor. So you got to think of this big picture. What does it look like for your fasting lifestyle to be easy? And that isn't eating OMAD every single day.
Hmm.
Eating OMAD dinner. Because then what happens when you're on vacation or you get a poor night's sleep? Or you're traveling, or you've got life events.
Or a lunch opportunity, or a brunch, you know, invitation. Like what happens then if all you've been doing is, you know, one meal a day dinner? Especially if it hasn't been working very well, or, you know, to maintain your results, or maybe it was working to move the scale, but that's really what you're looking forward to, but then it's slowed down or it stopped working. Hit an OMAD plateau, let's say.
So start with a list. What's your negotiables and non-negotiables? We talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. And we have a challenge coming up on March 18th, new format, Master Your Fasting Challenge. Shameless plug right here, because it literally, the word negotiable, we talk about this mm-hmm. all throughout the challenge. Like, how do you make a fasting? Like, this is one of the reasons why I really don't like answering the question, what's the best fasting schedule? I'm like, well, what's the one you can stick to? What's the one that makes your life simpler? What's one that makes your day-to-day easier? What's the one that makes you feel good and you get excited about it?
What's your most important goal right now?
Right. What's the reasoning for it? What's the goal behind it, right? So fasting for us is non-negotiable for being healthy and losing weight and keeping the weight off for me. It's non-negotiable. But guess what is negotiable? Eating kale salads.
Hmm.
Or running. I don't have to run and I don't have to eat kale salads. If you like that stuff, great. But this concept of like how we can make this fun is, or make it enjoyable, is that that's the sustainability piece. So you have to be self-aware is really what I'm getting at, Tommy.
Yeah. And when you talk about sustainability and self-awareness, I mean, that's part of looking at this as an opportunity for your future trajectory right there. That's also being okay making decisions now that aren't necessarily going to be perfect, but taking an imperfect action. And that's also part of taking a look at what does this look like if it were easy? Okay, so that's an interesting, like, that's almost like a loaded question, because sometimes we associate harder work with better results. And so that can be problematic, especially when it comes to health, fat loss, fasting, taking control over, you know, what the scale is doing and how you're feeling, because fasting in and of itself is about, you know, not doing one thing that I might have been doing too much of or too often, or maybe in a suboptimal way for a while to put on additional weight, right? Like a lot of us find fasting because we're looking to gain control over the scale. Not always, but it's definitely a consideration. So that counterintuitive part about just the fact that it's not always about doing more or feeling more tortured to get better results, which is what we can associate from some of the gym culture, the methods I've used in the past. If I've done eat less, move more salads and more working out, hopefully equals more results. If I'm bringing that with me into my fasting lifestyle, that can basically be like baggage weighing me down too, because it's not true and it's not going to serve me.
Yep. 100%. The last one that we'll go into today, and this is something that I've been a proponent of and harped on, and we have a resource for, you can go grab the sleep guide,
mm-hmm.
is focusing and prioritizing on sleep, and I'll say and or stress.
Okay.
But sleep, a good night's sleep is so underrated in today's, we're always connected. The markets are open. My phone's dinging, mm-hmm. you know, the blue light ocean that we now live in.
Yeah. What did I miss?
Right.
I don't really want to sleep. What did I miss?
I was just at my men's group this morning, and we were talking about, you know, rhythm versus balance. And we were talking about, you know, intentional time and like putting the phone away, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, between 5:30 and 8:30 at night now, the phone's on the counter. It's not in my pocket. It's not with me. Like, it's just gone. Sundays mm-hmm. Until about 8 o'clock at night, when I prep for the following week, Sunday days, unless we go somewhere or we leave, I take it with me. When mm-hmm. we're at home with the kids on a Sunday, the phone's away.
Nice.
Because it's one of those things that increases that stress component. But that always ability, that always connected piece really directly affects my sleep. And a good night's sleep, it's not only conducive for fat loss, or consistent fasting efforts,
mm-hmm.
but it's also like a huge component of how I feel about what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis.
Of course.
If you've got kids, you know, like for me now, like hangovers are no longer non-negotiable. They're not.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the person I am the next day or how I feel, mm-hmm. right? Being a parent, being a dad, like I don't like it. I don't like the way I feel. So sleep, never mind from a mental standpoint, But the best thing you can do for consistent fat loss and fasting and healthy lifestyle change is to prioritize your sleep. Never mind just from that mental component, but from the insulin resistance driving component also, because we know that one night of poor sleep under 6 hours, you can have a 30% sway in your blood sugar, cravings, mood, all of those things kick into play from a physiology standpoint. So it's really stacking the deck against you. And I'm working up now to where I used to get between, 5:45 and 6:30, but now I'm really, 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 really shooting for that 7 hour mark. And the ultimate goal is really to get to 8. But it's just going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah, it's definitely a consistency game to get your sleep improvement up for sure.
Yep. But,
the physiological benefits are definitely there, but I think that the psychological benefits, the cravings, the motivation and willpower, even though we talk about, we don't want to be relying on those things, but still from time to time, we're going to need a little bit of them. And they're definitely easier to tap into whenever we've had a better sleep. We're also, like you mentioned, mood, like your mood the next day is directly related to your sleep and your sleep quality. And that's a big part of enjoying the process too, though, because if I'm trying to get unstuck, if I'm trying to drop some weight that I haven't been able to drop in the past, or it keeps coming back, I'm trying to gain control of that. I really want to make sure that I'm enjoying this process. That's going to make it much more likely that I stick to, that I actually take the next step and tap into it the next day, and not just like get frustrated or as frustrated the first day or the first week that I don't seem to be making tangible progress. And a big part of that is feeling like I'm enjoying the process. So if I can, anything I can do to elevate mood is going to be a very helpful part of this journey as well. And when you talked about thinking about what does it look like if it's easy, that also reinforces mood elevation that's correlated and associated with your strategy too. So what I mean by that is looking forward to the foods that are coming up in your nutrition window is a big part of enjoying the process, right? Looking forward to your next workout or your next exercise session, regardless of what that looks like take up, bike riding or swimming or, rock climbing, pickleball, martial arts, like thinking outside the box, not just, oh, I got to go do a spin class that I hate or whatever, no offense to spin class. I've only done one and it was fun. I did like 11 miles or something, but it doesn't have to be something that's just a total grind. You want to look forward to as many of the pieces of the puzzle as possible, right?
Right. Now there are times where it's like, oh, if you hate getting up at 5 a.m., then get up at 6, right? But then it's not like, oh, I hate working out in the morning, so I'm just not going to do it. Right. Yeah. There's two different things. Like, we've got that variability there, especially with, your fasting windows is the biggest thing that I can lead to. If not having dinner with the family is a big problem, then figure out a way to prioritize that a few nights a week where they feel your energy and your support and you're there.
Yeah.
But the other nights, then boom, like time to hit the longer 30, 36 hour fast. So you can head and grab the blueprint to fasting for fat loss. It's in the show notes. That has all the different fasting schedules, kind of a ramp up, 3 or 4 different weeks of examples there. But let's wrap it up, Tommy, with the five-step plan, right? Because we started this conversation with, how this individual, kind of framed the article was, the blueprint I used to lose 14 pounds in 2 months after years of just failing miserably and being really frustrated about it. Mm-hmm. So some of the same stuff that we talk about. We talk way more about this type of stuff during our challenges than we do the actual fasting schedules, even though we give those to you.
Right.
But here's the five things to think about. And one of the things you can take away from today is stop waiting and delegating the future you and force yourself to start. It's the action that gets a result that keeps you motivated. You want more on that? Episode 125. The second thing is, begin with the end in mind. Like, think about what it's going to look like in 5, 10, 15 years. If you're where I was in my mid-30s going, what the heck? What's it going to look like in my mid-40s, mid-50s, mid-60s? right? Just look around your family. Because the writing's on the wall. If you follow that path, you're going to get the similar result, right?
For sure.
The third thing would be like, what kind of movement, exercise slash fasting, like what are the things in this lifestyle that you enjoy or dislike the least?
Yeah.
And do more of those.
Yep. Love that.
Sleep as much as you can. Prioritize it. Get the phone out of the bedroom. I've done it. Get it out. Create a bedtime routine, even if it's 10 minutes. Somehow prioritize your sleep. Which is so interesting for me to say because you and I are in the same cut from the same cloth. I'll sleep when I'm dead. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. I can survive on 5 hours, right?
I had decades of that. Yep.
Right? And I mean, that's what I grew up with too. You know, that's what I modeled. And then the last thing is probably going to upset maybe some of our OGs and long-term listeners here. But if you're stuck and you're going to force yourself to take an action or be more consistent, sometimes you need to see it. So dial it in for a couple of weeks and track everything. I went from being like total anti-tracker because of all the calorie counting and weighing and stuff that didn't work for me for years, for decades.
The baggage.
To now where I'm using my Whoop and I have this little manual piece of paper with a pen checkbox kind of thing that I use every morning, every night with the 5-minute gratitude journal. And in Whoop, you can customize some. You'll be surprised I actually did this. I customized the journal.
Nice.
Finally. Because usually I just click through it. I'm like, hey, get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really interesting to see like my recoveries and how I feel and how my fasting's going. And, you know, I'm looking back the last 9 months going, okay, I made really great changes with my before and after DEXA scan.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I wasn't really focused on any of those targets. I was just kind of consistent with it.
Yeah.
But now that I can see it, I'm like, oh, wow, I can do way better in the next 3 to 4 months and get even better results than I did in the 9 months.
Wow.
Because I just wasn't tracking it and paying attention to it. So you value what you measure what you value, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing, too, because if you think about it, it's tough for us to remember like what we ate a day or two ago, let alone like exactly what we did a week ago or a month ago.
It's impossible. Know? Well, at least for me.
But like what it says on the scale, how your blood work looks, your energy levels, how you're feeling right now, and the overall picture of your health was baked in over the last months to years as well. But for us to understand that, it's going to be basically impossible for us to remember exactly what we did, even when we were doing a lot of things right, or maybe especially if you're doing a lot of things right, because we tend to just focus on what we did wrong or what we should improve. That's just how we're wired. So for you to have a tangible, journal of that, even over the short term, can be very helpful to see what you've been doing right, where you might want to improve. But, success leaves clues. So like, let's follow the breadcrumbs to more success. Right.
Yeah. And the biggest takeaway, even though it's going to sound kind of odd, because I just said, go ahead and track stuff. And I wasn't specifically talking about calories, but needle moving metrics, the actions you're taking, right?
Yeah.
We need to simplify this process for sustainability. And that's why the fasting lifestyle, again, is so incredibly powerful. And that's why we truly believe that it is the solution for so many when it comes to the overweight, obesity, metabolic syndrome, insulin resistant epidemic that we currently are on, the trajectory that we're on. And that's the whole motivation of why we come each and every week with an episode. That's why we're going to video. That's why we're going to have some show changes coming up in the near future as well, because we truly want to empower you and encourage you that even though you've felt stuck and failed in the past, that you can be your own next testimony, right? The next time you do it, you can do it different. But we got to start somewhere. So those 5 things to think about this episode, Tommy, if you're looking for more guidance, you can head to the show notes, grab the Blueprint to Fasting for Fat Loss, grab the sleep guide. We got a challenge coming up on the 18th. If you're looking to really hit the ground running, just dive in head first, go to the show notes, click the link. It's got all the dates, times, information. You can sign up there on the site as well. And I'm just excited as we continue to gain momentum with Fasting for Life here in 2024. Appreciate all you guys listening in. Tommy, as always, appreciate the conversation. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye.
So, you've heard today's episode, and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.